Going to look at 1 Corinthians again. And today we have a long passage to cover from chapter 12 to chapter 14. But before we do that, perhaps we would like to do some bit of revision. You remember the week before, I covered the principles and practice of the observance of headship at a public gathering from the passage 1 Corinthians 11, 3 to 16, where we are told to acknowledge that Christ is the head of our gathering. Then today we shall deal with the principle and practice of holiness and orderliness in a public gathering from chapter 11, verse 17 to chapter 14, last verse. Now, I hurried through last week to complete chapter 11, 17-34 on the Lord's Supper. And today, I need a lot of time again to cover the rest of this section from chapter 12 to 14. But it is important that I have passed on to you a good understanding of the Lord's Supper. Otherwise, it can be abused, as it was abused in the time of the church at Corinth. I presented to you the order to observe in the church, the preparation leading to the Lord's Supper, that the church must prepare for the Lord's Supper, keeping in mind that there should be no deviation. Chapter 11, verses 17 and 20, where the Christians were rebuked in Corinth, that when they gathered together, it was not to remember the Lord at the Lord's Supper. It was for their own purpose. So lesson number one that we need to learn is this, that we should not make the Lord's Supper at the tail end of a meeting as if it is not significant, as it is not important. It has the right to be by itself, a unique service by itself to remember the Lord. In fact, there is no other service alike to the Lord's Supper as mentioned in the scriptures. Let there be no divisions. The very fact that we partake of the bread shows our unity, that even as each one takes that piece of bread from the loaf, it demonstrates his part in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let there be no heretical doctrines. Let us not be superstitious and ritualistic regard to the Lord's Supper. Let us not think that when we take the bread, that it is the actual body of the Lord Jesus Christ as taught in the doctrine of transubstantiation. Let us not think that when we drink of the cup, that it is the actual blood of Christ as taught again in the doctrine of transubstantiation, when these substances are substantiated or gain substance in the material form of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or, for that matter, let us not entertain the idea of consubstantiation, where we think that the bread contains the actual body of Christ and the wine contains the actual blood of Christ. We are not superstitious and ritualistic. And let us also take care that we do not allow it to be developed in the administration of the Lord's Supper that there should be only one qualified person to do so. We are told, every one of us, take the bread, drink of the cup. Each one has a right to take part of the Lord's Supper. There is no need for an ordained minister to administer the bread or the cup. For all these doctrines, our early fathers in the assemblies came out from the various denominations in order that they might come and meet in a very simple manner around the table of the Lord to remember. So let us not go back to the old heretical practices and doctrines. Let us keep to the simplicity of the Lord's Supper. Let there be no improper decorum. Let us realize that when we come to the Lord's Supper, we are meeting the Lord. He is present. He is at our head. And He is the Lord of this gathering. So let us learn how to behave ourselves. And let us, when we come together, not just... We have to leave our talk outside the church building and come to meet the Lord, and not to bring our talk and our conversation and our interest into the gathering, because we need to respect and revere the presence of the Lord in our midst. Let there be personal discernment. The church must not only prepare the members for the Lord's Supper, the members themselves individually must prepare themselves for the Lord's Supper. Let a man examine himself, that he may not drink any judgment unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body, or not discerning the Lord's blood, because we are occupied with ourselves. So it is important we do not drink judgment unto ourselves. Verse 28. In very simple terms, remember the four P's. Number one, be prepared. Number two, be present. Number three, be punctual. Number four, be participating. Four P's with regard to the Lord's Supper. Be prepared. Come prepared of heart, spirit, and soul. You are not attending another meeting where you just come from work and so on, perhaps, and then just come and attend another service. Be prepared of heart before the meeting, perhaps waking up earlier, perhaps in the previous night. Prepare that when you come, you may be able to discern the Lord's body. Be present. Be sure that you are there, because the Lord's Supper is a unique meeting in the life of every member of, in the body of Christ. Be present and be punctual. Be punctual so that we respect the presence of the Lord, who is the head of this gathering, and participate where you can. That's what we are here today, to learn how to participate properly so that everybody can be edified. So that's the order to observe in the church, leading to the Lord's Supper. Then we learned also last week, 2 weeks ago, that the Lord's Supper was an ordinance given to the church. One of two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And therefore, we cannot just want to observe one and obey one and then leave out the other. We need to obey the two, because the two are part and parcel of the ordinances given by God, by the Lord, to His church. The order for the observance. What are we to do? We are, number one, break the bread. Simple. Now, it's good to see that as many of you break the bread, you close your eyes, you pray. I wonder what you pray. I wonder what you pray. I have not actually made a survey of people and asking them, what do you pray when you break the bread? What do you pray when you drink of the cup? How do you give thanks? Of course, it would be nice if you can just say to the Lord, you know, thank you for coming in that body that was made to bear my sins, that you died in the flesh for me. Thank you, Lord. A very simple prayer is more than enough. Thank you for shedding your blood, even as I take of this cup, the symbol of that blood that was shed for me. Thank you very much. That's all that we need. Break the bread, drink of the cup. And whatever it is, show the Lord's death. When we do these things, let us be able to discern. Because when our thoughts go on to the share market, when our thoughts go on to the market that we are going to go to buy food and so on, or to other things, or to the football match that is going on, or the Commonwealth Games that is going on, then we are not discerning the Lord's death. So we need to discern the Lord's death even as we take of the cup, as we take of the bread. Do this in remembrance of me. Whatever it is, remember the Lord Jesus Christ. He should be prominent in our meditation. And finally, the order to observe. examine yourself before, not at the time, before, then come, be prepared, and be present. Because it says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. And so, not let a man examine himself, and if he finds himself guilty, stay away. It doesn't say that. And so, let him eat, assuming that he would put that which is wrong right. Now, with this revised, let's go on for today's study. The problem of misuse of gifts. Now, to help those who participate at the Lord's Supper to edify others in the gathering, gifts are given. Special gifts are given, chapters 12 and 13. Now, there are various gifts given, various types. For example, chapter 12, verses 4 to 6, there are the diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but the same God who worketh all and in all. So, let us not think that we need only the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let us remember that as we use these gifts, we need to acknowledge and submit to the sovereignty of God who sets us in the various places to exercise our gifts, the Lordship of Christ, who is to be acknowledged as Lord in the exercise of our gifts, and the leadership of the Spirit, allowing the Spirit to lead us in the use of these gifts for the Lord's glory. Now, chapter 12, verses 4 to 11, and verses 28 to 30, we see the diversity of these gifts. The first part, we see the diversity of the supernatural gifts which were given and which were very necessary at the time of the infant church. When the Bible was not yet completed, they needed special revelation. They needed supernatural gifts to deliver the very truths of God. And therefore, in the early church, you find that, as in the church in Corinth, the Christians were very well gifted. And in fact, in chapter 1:7, we are told that the Christians in Corinth were the most gifted among the churches. And yet, they were the most problematical, so that we took 2 years to examine their problems in that church. So, a gifted person does not mean that that person is spiritual or matured. That person may give a lot of problems. And therefore, these gifts must be properly regulated so that these gifts are exercised in the right way. Verses 28 to 30, we also have not only the supernatural gifts, but the other practical and natural gifts. For example, helps are gifts given. When you are a special help to assist people and so on, that is a special gift. But many people will not like to have this gift because it is so insignificant and in the background. Exercise these gifts tremendously for the caring of those in the church. The design, remember this, whether these are supernatural gifts or practical gifts, remember this, the design is to edify the church. It is not for self-profit. The gift is given that that gift may be used to profit all others. The dependence, no one, as it gives the example, can say, for example, the hand says to the foot, the hand says, I observe, I'm no use. I'm not as good as the foot, or the foot says I'm not good as the hand, so I can just stay away. No, you are indispensable. The head cannot say to the eye, you are useless, or the head say to the foot, you are useless. You are just the foot to be stepped upon. I am the head. I'm very clever. You cannot say that. You cannot say to the other person, you are of no use. I can get rid of you. So, no one can say, I am no good, I can be disposed of. No one can say to another person, you are no good, I alone can do everything that you can do. No one is dispensable and no one is indispensable. All are interdependent on each other. Whatever it is covered the best gift. Desire the best gift. And the best gift is that gift that is able to help and edify other people the most. So, whatever it is, let love inspire us in the choice and in the exercise of these gifts. Now, very quickly, chapter 13. Love is the one element that must prevail in the use and exercise of all gifts. And that was the misuse of gifts. So that in the early Corinthian church, we find that in chapter 13, 1 to 3, there were people who were more interested in edifying themselves, profiting themselves. So that Paul says, if you can speak in tongues, but you do not have love, you are just like a tinkling cymbal. You are just like a drum making all sounds, but of no use, and so on and so forth. If you have not love in the exercise of these gifts and to profit other people, then that gift is of no use to you and to God. The development of gifts through love, and these gifts must be developed. And what are these the characteristics, the qualities of these gifts? Chapter 13, verses 4 to 8 tell us that love is patient, love is forbearing, and so on. But here is something that we need to know about these gifts. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. These are supernatural gifts, which were given to the church at that early time in their infant stage to develop. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We do not know fully then at that time. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I am become a man, I have put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. And that's why now that we have the Word of God, we need to go back always to the Word of God and not depend on a special revelation by a certain person or a special prophecy by a certain person. Because God does not speak in that way, although we also believe that we do not limit God to that kind of thing that we think that He should not work in, but God in certain extraordinary circumstances may still work in that way, but normally He does not work in that way. Those gifts are for the infant stage of the church. Now that we have the complete revelation of His Word, we need to go back to His Word always and allow it to guide us. Therefore, there abides now faith, hope, and love. And the greatest still is love. Chapter 13 and verse 13. Follow after love and function always in love. With this, we shall go on to the problem of being confused in public participation. This is our main study for this morning. These people came together. There was a lot of confusion because people did not seem to understand what participation was all about. For example, chapter 14, verse 26, we read, what is it then, brethren? When you come together, each hath a psalm, hath a teaching, hath a revelation, hath a tongue, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. These people are gifted, each one trying his best to exercise that gift without consideration for other people. That is not right. Let all things be done unto edifying. It brings about confusion when these things happen. So, we are going to study 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and look at some of the regulations and principles that govern the use of these gifts when people come together to participate at the meeting. We shall consider these principles and the practical points that we can apply to our gathering for the Lord's Supper especially, and for all that matters, for all other meetings. And these are principles that we need to consider in our participation at a gathering like this. Now, to do this, I have got to apply certain scripture, certain words used in 1 Corinthians 14 to our practical, our situation now in the practice of the exercise of gifts. For example, in 1 Corinthians 14, 1, 2, and 5, we say, follow after love, and definitely whatever happens in our participation in our church gathering, love must govern. Love must govern. Then, when we see the word prophesy, because prophesy is the outward expression of what is inside, I would refer that to a public participation. When we see the word prophesy, I would apply that to the time when we participate publicly. And when you speak in tongues with interpretation, that will mean that you speak publicly with outside assistance. For example, now I'm speaking publicly with outside assistance, the microphone, so that you can hear me clearly. That will be speaking in tongues, but with interpretation. But if there is no interpretation, if there is no microphone, and you are soft-voiced, then it's better that you keep silent, because you don't edify other people. You may be able to take part very, very zealously, very, very impressively, but people don't hear what you say, and that doesn't edify. It's better then, therefore, you edify your own self because you don't edify others, and you worship silently. Speak silently to God or participate publicly for the profit of all. Keep in mind, the whole idea is profit for all. Okay, we start now. Rule number one. He that prophesies, speaker to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Whatever you do when you participate, and this applies to young people who come up on the pulpit also, make sure that when you come here and you speak, you fulfill three purposes. One, you must edify, you must exhort, and you must encourage. And for the Lord's Supper especially, there should be no self-edification. Meaning, oh, before you come perhaps, you have been thrilled by how the Lord speaks to you, how the Lord assists you in certain ways and so on. And you come here, you start to share all that testimony. But it concerns only you. It doesn't concern other people. And it doesn't lead to the Lord. And therefore, in that case, it's better that you are engaged in silent worship. Thank the Lord for it. But it does not help other people because they are not in the same circumstance as you. No self-edification. He that speaketh in the tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So it is important that when you participate, your main purpose must be edify others and not just for self. No self-enriching personal favorites or testimonies. Meaning, you know, sometimes we have a very favorite hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. That was a favorite hymn of one brother in Bumrungrad Hall years ago. Whenever he stood up, he said, let us now sing a hymn. We know the hymn number already. And that hymn number would have to do When I Survey the Cross. Hymn number 115 from Song of Solos. I can still remember that. Now, he doesn't bother what other people have been singing about. He doesn't bother what other people have been thinking about. That is his favorite hymn. He stands up, he gives that hymn. When it is right at the right time, it's good. But when it is not, none. It spoils the whole train of thought. So, notes and favorite hymns, or even passages of Bible texts and so on. So, let the Spirit lead. No insistence to participate just because of being self-prepared. Just now I said that we must prepare ourselves. And we prepare ourselves. But don't insist that when you are prepared, you must just give out when you come here to do what you have prepared. Now, for example, let me give you a practical example, personal experience. Just now, I was taken up with the thoughts that have been expressed here. I was taken up with the thoughts being directed to the cross of Christ. I was taken up with the thought of being bowed in worship. And I was meditating on John 19:20. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And I was thinking to myself, was the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross bowing himself in worship? Then I read also that he gave up the ghost. Then thought of what is going on today came to my mind. The month of the hungry ghost. So my question was Jesus a ghost? He gave up the ghost. That's in the King James Version. Well, thoughts have been running through my mind, and perhaps next Sunday, for those of you who have been receiving my rumination, I shall come up with the rumination, was Jesus a ghost? Look out for it, those who receive my rumination next week. But I didn't take part. Why? Because there were others taking part. There were others taking part. I don't jump into it. What shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying? Now, revelation, knowledge, prophesying, all these were means by which the Lord revealed his ways to the people at that time because the word was not there. But today we have the doctrine, and therefore we should, when we participate, base our participation on the Spirit's leading based on the word of God. It should be the result of revelation from the word, scripted and from scripture and prompted by the Spirit to profit the people. Let us base our participation on the word of God and not on outside experiences or just our inner experiences. We need to edify from the word of God. But today, even as I say this, I realize with the advance of technology, this can be a problem too. Dependence on modern devices today. Today, many young adults use the smartphone. And in a smartphone, the Bible is inside there. It's very good. But apart from the Bible, there are also commentaries inside the smartphone. So what they do is, in the meeting like this, for example, while somebody has given up a hymn, the cross of Christ, quickly look up the cross, very good. Look at scriptures. But then there are also commentaries. Look at, the commentary says this, 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 that, and so on. And then, instead of paying attention to what is being said, instead of paying attention to what is being sung, quickly read the comments from the commentary, and then, what he delivers later on is the result of the comments from the commentator, but not from the word. Not from the word. Now, let us be aware of this. Let's be aware of this in this modern age. Let us be led by the Spirit based upon the meditation of God's word and not be influenced by other people's comments. All right. Chapter 14, verses 7 to 9. Except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? Except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken, for you shall speak into the air? Again, this is a very important guideline. To be understood, those of you who participate, be simple in your vocabulary. Don't try to use very long theological words. Be sensible in your presentation. Develop your thoughts point by point. Don't jump from here and there and everywhere so that people get confused. Be audible in speech, distinct in pronunciation and enunciation. When you speak, make sure that everybody can hear you. Not only can hear you, but understand what you say. Can hear you means that you are audible, that everybody can hear. Can understand you means that you are distinct in your enunciation. What is enunciation? So that people do not misunderstand you and think that when you are saying, the ship on the sea has sunk, when actually you mean the ship on the sea has sunk. Enunciation, when you enunciate long vowel sounds or short vowel sounds, and so on. So you need to enunciate and to pronounce clearly. Everything you say is properly understood, and therefore people get edified with the contents of what you say. Speak to people, not to self or into space. And especially if you are in front, don't stand up and participate and speak just to the front. The people at the back cannot hear you. So turn back, speak to the people, and don't speak to yourself too. Because sometimes people think, now we have a big problem over in Bumrungrad Hall. In Bumrungrad Hall, now there are mics all over. And people think that because they have microphones in front of them, they speak very softly so that they think that the mic would amplify what they say and so on. You need to speak loud enough so that everybody can hear you. And so these are things, are guidelines that will help us to edify each other in the gathering. There are many kinds of voices in the world. None is without signification. We must be also conscious of competitive voices and noises outside. Sometimes as we talk, we find that suddenly there's an aeroplane that goes boom. And those few words that we say at the time when the plane flies over are not heard. In that case, we need either to speak louder or we need to repeat those words again so that people know what we have been saying. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be a barbarian, and he that speaketh a barbarian unto me. If a person listening to you does not understand what you say, then you are a stranger to him, and he is a stranger to you. So make sure that you use words, concepts, and terms you yourself understand, and which are understood by all. Now, don't not try to be very clever and academic and use a lot of theological terms that people do not understand. So we need to be very simple, not only in the words that we use and concept. The point here, again, is everyone should understand and should be edified. Do not speak Greek metaphorically or literally. Please do not speak Greek so that other people cannot understand. Now, for example, here, I think of our brother here, who prays in Bahasa very well. Now, it's good that most of you can understand Bahasa, or ought to understand because you are Malaysians, all right? And that would be nice. But if he prays in Bahasa and all of you cannot understand, then what he does is not edifying. It is only for his self-edification, and you see his enthusiasm and his passion in prayer, but you do not get edified. So in that case, he needs to be silent and worship the Lord for himself because he cannot edify the church. Now, these are the principles laid down. So our brother is good, and many of you do understand what he says, so we are edified. Even so, you, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek excel to the edifying of the church. That's very important, the edification of the church. Control your zealousness and enlist help. Gifts have their places. Say or do the right thing at the right time. You may be very zealous. You may be very passionate. And at that particular time, the Lord has been speaking to you and you just want to pass it on. But in a gathering like this, when all are come together for a specific purpose, then you need to be sure that what you say will edify the people in remembering the Lord. Seek to excel in your gift to the edification of the church and not your own self, to give expression to what how you feel. 14:13, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Again, as I say, to interpret may be to use the assistance of something else outside your voice. So pray and enlist help to ensure that what is said is heard and understood. Use mics to interpret if you cannot be heard. Perhaps here there is only one mic. Perhaps I do not know. I may suggest even to the oversight at Island Grace, there may be a mic at the back because sometimes I sit in front and those people who contribute at the back, I cannot hear. And likewise, those in front. So sometimes it is good. The whole point is all must be edified. All must understand. All must be edified. And not just the enthusiasm of one person and the others do not get edified. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, taking part depends a lot on our understanding. It is not just all be spirit-led and just be taken up with your emotions. Mentally, we must be able to understand what is going on, what is said, and what is sung. Therefore, be spirit-led by all means. Be spirited, but be sensible. Never think to yourself that if you are spirit-led, you are no more sensible because you become so impatient. That is not true. When you are spirit-led, all things that you do can be understood as well. Follow what is going on and exercise your gifts as led by the Spirit accordingly. Now, it is good and very important that every one of us, when we sit down and we meditate, we listen to what other people are saying, we listen to what is read, we look at what is sung, and then we understand what is being talked about, what is being thought, and so in that way, we contribute to what is going on. So follow the train of thought, thinking, and theme in focus at that time. For example, this morning we might be thinking of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And suddenly you'll come up with worshipping in the creation outside and so on. Now, we need to think, we need to meditate, we need to understand not only the words that are being said in prayer and praise, not only the words that are being sung, but all things that are done so that we contribute towards a thought where everybody can be thinking of and be edified. For example, if I should ask you, when you go away from this place, what thought will you bring with you as you leave this place? What thought have you had of the Lord Jesus Christ when you leave this place? If you cannot think of one, then you have not been edified. Your thoughts have gone all over the places. But if you can think of one, then indeed you have been edified, and then the thoughts have been sent, focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he is or who he is. All right. I will pray with the Spirit and with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and with understanding. I dare to challenge many of us here. After you have sung a hymn and you close your book, hymn book, and ask you, what have you sung? Many of us will not be able to say what they have sung unless that song is well known to them and they can say, oh, I've sung this because they have known this before. But if it is a new hymn, what have you sung? I think many of us just go through the singing without even thinking and meditating upon the words. And therefore, I may suggest that as you worship in spirit, as we were encouraged to this morning, understanding must also go together. Think and understand when worshiping and singing. That as you sing, understand what the words you are singing and then worship accordingly. In other words, ruminate and reflect on the words. May I suggest a very practical suggestion that after you have sung a hymn or after a person has read a passage from the Bible, please do not close the hymn book or the Bible. Do not close. When you sit down, look at the hymn again, because as you sing, the words may not speak to you so clearly. Look at the words again and allow the words to be meditated upon. Allow the words to speak to you. And in this way, your thoughts are to be used by the Spirit for him to implant his thoughts onto your thoughts so that your thoughts that can be expressed will be edifying to all as led by the Spirit. Else when thou shalt bless, how shall the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? Now the whole purpose of making people understand is that others may be able to say amen. Amen is that they agree with you. All should say amen. participants must worship on behalf of, be intelligible, audible, and clear to the unlearned, so that he or she too can say amen. As I had told, I think one or two from here, I say, this is not scriptural. That if, while it is good and humble of you to say, Lord, I thank you very much for this. I thank you for speaking to me. I, in a gathering like this, let us remember that when you take part in a gathering like this, you are not speaking on your own behalf. You are speaking on behalf of all others, of all the others. And therefore, the I should not be used, because it is a gathering of people and not for you yourself. And for example, if I want to pray for myself, I wouldn't say, Lord, help me now, I want to speak for you. But I would say, Lord, help thine servant as he stands up for you and as he speaks to thy people. That's what I would pray, because I'm praying on your behalf. And so this, we should understand what is meant by a public gathering of the people. And all others, when you hear, you say amen. And when a person says, I cannot say amen, because that's what he prays for, not what I cannot agree with him. So when you say we and all of us together on my behalf, I can say amen. And do say amen, please. For thou verily givest thanks. Well, but the other is not edified. Again, I want to emphasize, your contribution of how good it is not dependent upon how well you speak, but how edifying you are. So fluency, keenness, zealousness, good impression may not edify others if self-motivated. Now, my time is nearly up. I just hurry through very quickly. In the church, I'd rather speak 5 words and we teach others also. Please be short, be precise, and concise in worship. Let others participate. It is not a time for sermonizing, all right? In bellies, be ye children, in understanding, be men. Use your gifts for the edification of the church. Be matured in your thinking. Play your respective roles. Men, you are to stand up to pray and not be silent. Therefore, you need to play your role. He is convinced of all, and so falling down, he will worship God and report that God is in you, provided he understands. So be orderly with control, exercise of gifts, leading others to revere God and the remembrance of Christ. Be not irrelevant or irreverent. So those who participate, you must do so intelligibly and intelligently. Now, how is it that everyone has a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation when you come to a gathering like this? Let it be one by one, 2 or 3. The self-prepared must not insist on participation in a particular part of a service. Take your turn. Do not compete and jump in. Let me give you an example. It is not right, even how prepared you are, that because you are so self-prepared, when you come, you must take part and you must do so. And therefore, the moment there is an opportunity, you just jump in and you just take part. That is not right. That's not right. Allow pauses for the Spirit to lead others to take part. In fact, younger people, younger men, we expect you to take more part in a meeting. Let the younger people take part. And that's why in many cases when I attend a Lord's Supper like this, I keep quiet. Because I want the younger ones to take part. And why don't I give out hymns? Because younger people find difficult to expound on a text. So I give them the opportunity to give out hymns. All these years, I don't give out hymns because I want the other people, the younger ones, to use the gift to overcome the stage fear and give out hymns, because that's the easiest part. So don't compete. Don't jump in. Allow time for the Spirit to lead. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak, let it be by 2 or at most by 3. In other words, allow pauses, and of course, here we have learned from the headship, men are to take part, and so on. Right. And no sermonizing. This is not the time for sermonizing. The contribution at the Lord's Supper is just to help other people to worship, to remember the Lord, and not to make a sermon out of it. Okay. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. If he cannot be heard, then worship silently. There is a place for silent worship, but do worship. Just as the sisters, they worship silently. Let the prophet speak, two or three, and let the others judge. Speak, take part, but do not be sensitive. So, right, for example, this morning, I have been a little bit critical on certain things that are done. If they are wrong, just accept and be constructive. Now, for example, our brother here. You know, 1-2 years ago, when he was praying, he was always coming up with, "Oh, Tuhan, oh, Tuhan, oh, Tuhan, oh, Tuhan." Then I spoke to our brother. I said, look, when you speak to your father, do you always say, "Oh, Father, oh, Father, oh, Father, oh, Father"? No, you don't. You just say, "Father," and then after that, you go in, you talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And you see, he's such so improved today. So don't be sensitive. He's a good brother. After this, he still smiles at me. He still talks to me. So if anything be revealed to another that seated by, let the first Holy Spirit. That's what I've been saying. Give chance to others to take part. Do not jump in. Allow pauses so that others can take part. Don't jump into the queue. Do not monopolize. It is not message time. Do not monopolize in two ways. One, take up so much of the time so that other people cannot participate. Two, always you must be the one to take part. Do not monopolize. It is not message time at the Lord's Supper. Silence can be meaningful. Diam-diam ubi berisi. Diam-diam bersih berkarat. You tahu, huh? Itu. All right? Okay, so be still and know God. Be silent as the grave. You can choose to. For you may all prophesy. Okay. Let us all who contribute learn to listen and to lead together. So that don't say that you must be only one to lead and you don't need to listen. That is not true. And you must learn to, that all may be comforted. Follow what he said. All right. I skip through all this because it's past my time. I come down to the last part. Now, by the way, if anything you miss out here, don't worry. You can always go to my website and see what I have left out. Whatever it is, my summary is, do participate in public gatherings with your God-given gifts, but let all things be done unto edifying, let all things be done decently and in order. And with this, we shall deal with the problems regarding resurrection. Will the dead be raised? Will the living rise? What happens when Jesus returns? When we discuss the solutions in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when I see you again on 23rd December. And if you miss out anything, just go to my website and you will find it. Thank you. God bless.